Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Live from the Mumbai School of French Heraldry, it's a wheezing, groaning sound, the only podcast about Doctor Who. And today we're travelling back to 1215. No, not the time Michael Grade wanted Doctor Who pushed to in the schedules, but the year, ahead of the signing of the Magna Carta, when we all know the thing that should have actually been stopped is John Nathan Turner signing the contract for whoever made Chameleon. I'm Tom Neenan, and joining me are two men never afraid to get their lances out and are always followed around by their demons. It's Mr. Paul Litcher of the King of Rain!
Hey!
Hello, hello.
Welcome back, boys.
Mm. Welcome back. What an absolute treat.
Yeah, I know. What a story to pick for our comeback.
Bye bye.
And I'm so glad, Tom, that you're doing it, because there was moments when we were talking privately where you're going, no, Paul's doing that story. Yeah. I'm like, is he fuck?
Trying to pass the buck on this one. Speaking of which, Mr. Paul Litchfield, what else was on television this day, and can we watch that instead?
Lovely stuff. By the way, boys, love the show.
Thank you.
Here we go. So, King's Demons, right. Well, it's the 15th of March, and it's 1983, a day that we should all literally spit in our diaries. Oh, dear. Anyway, on your BBC of One, things started off nice and casual with breakfast, you know, 6:30 for breakfast with Frank Boff and Selina Scott's timetable.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, not Selina Scott, just her timetable.
which, you know, what between bits Frank used to spank himself on the arse with.
Yeah, I bet that definitely got covered in, I don't know, cling film after about 2 weeks. At 9 a.m. was, of course, courses for schools and colleges. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. A variety of courses for you this morning, including screen printing, geography casebook, actually, general studies, English resources, and... fill it up! God, I don't know what it is, but I want to go to university immediately! Fill it up! Etc, etc.
Sounds like Bert filled something up there. Bless
him. Yeah, yeah. The entire granny flat. Yeah. Now, at 3 p.m. was a nationwide budget special.
Exciting.
Yeah, and this is another example of Radio Times typo heaven. It literally says this: will Sir Geoffrey Howe help Innitus Roy Voiger individual taxi play in what could be his La Budget?
And then he hit the wall, slid down and landed on the floor. Frothing.
Oh my God.
I know his divorce went through recently, but I think he's had some sort of stroke as well.
Large budget. Large budget.
His individual taxi play. That's what I like.
Call me Mambulance.
What a man does in the privacy of his own home is entirely up to him. And in my case, it's individual taxi play. Dearie me. Yeah, and after your nationwide budget special, follow the news, and then at 6:55, Doctor Who, The King's Demons. Ooh. I'm afraid, Tom, there is a write-up.
Oh, no.
Hopefully by the stroke victim again.
Yeah. I
think it's just Ofcom holding up their hands going, we're so sorry, we're so sorry. But it does say thus. The TARDIS appears at a medieval joust between Frenchman Sir Gilles and Hugh Fitzwilliam. But King John seems more curious than alarmed. And straight after Doctor Who, after you were literally finished headbutting the wall, was Terry and June.
Oh, June!
Yeah, oh, June! No write-up, unfortunately.
June Get Chameleon out of the spare room. My boss fought in the cyborg walls.
Jewel Chameleon's coming round with Mr. Mempwas. I don't know if he was called Mr. Mempwas, but he always is in my head.
I love that.
After Terry and June was Great Little Railways.
Aww.
Great Little Railways with John Shrapnel. Which is just a great name, isn't it? John Shrapnel.
Oh, wow. He's got a lovely voice, John Shrapnel.
Has he?
I
presume he's got his surname during the war. and nothing of consequence until 11:15 with Ballroom Champions live finalists brought to you by Mecca Bingo in conjunction with the bottlers of Coca-Cola.
Not Coca-Cola, the bottlers of Coca-Cola.
The bottlers, as in the chickens? You fucking bottlers.
One day they'll get that Coca-Cola in there.
If you're on BBC Two, it was Open University. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Mm. Courses include Picasso, Rocks and Magnets, Biology, and... flashing. Oh god, I've gone all dizzy after doing that.
A double Bert, it's unheard of.
Yeah. Double Bert, oh my god. Flashing live on BBC
Two. I'm worried
what
ideas he'll get from that. I don't want him to get into trouble with the police.
What was that genuinely about, though?
Well, I'm hoping it's lights and not him in a dirty old overcoat down in his local village.
You can get these boxes of Daz and String anywhere on the high street.
And after Open University, BBC Two got tired and closed down.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then it opened again. Then it opened again at 1:45 with the Cheltenham Festival. Love last it. Year's winner of the Champion Hurdle. And it also says for auction. Oh, yeah, sorry. I can't even read my own writing. Last year's winner of the Champion Hurdle for auction, that's the name of the horse, faces a strong challenge from a Royal Vulcan.
A Royal Vulcan.
Yeah, you remember when Spock got coronated? Yeah.
What a weird episode.
This is the logical captain. Yes, King Spock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cock for short.
Cock for short. Everyone, cock for short. after the Cheltenham Festival was Manhunt of Mystery Island at 20 to 6, chapter ooh, 6. Ooh. Yes, and it just says this: Claire, bound hand and foot, speeds towards her doom.
That sounds awful.
Poor old Claire.
Yeah, sounds like good something Lord. Bert might enjoy there.
Was the producer Sidney Cook?
Oh god.
Took us a while, but we got there. And then, this is strange, I didn't realise this was on BBC Two, but the Waltons. I always thought it was never on that, but there you go.
Oh, goodnight, John
The
Boy.
Waltons, yeah. And it just says this, Elizabeth's romance develops.
It should say, fuck all happens as usual. And then they go to bed. The end.
Well, Elizabeth's romance develops, Cora Beth files for divorce.
Oh wow, that's quite
so very, very much the yin and yang, isn't it? There, good lord. And then
that's the theme of the episode, Paul. One thing
that's
must
it, you
die,
see.
So another must live.
Oh. Is that the one where he says, "Stop wanking, John Boy"?
Yes.
Right.
It's got in my hair.
Oh, 9 o'clock was Russell Harty. And it was a special in which Russell joins Kenny Everett and Mike Harding to watch their private home movies.
Oh, blimey. What kind of body part do you think might appear in Kenny Everett's home movies?
Boobs. Well, it probably wouldn't be. It'd be whose bummo would it be?
With Clive Anderson.
Clive Anderson's bummo. Yeah.
Kenny Everett would show his own boobs, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he would. Yeah. But he'd have willies on them.
Yeah.
Now, after Russell Harty was, "Dear ladies, you're simply my cup of tea." in which those dear ladies prompt some novel ways for economising.
I have to say, in relation to dear ladies, Paul stayed at my house for a weekend with me and the children, and my youngest son occasionally is heard to walk around the house singing "Dear Ladies".
Dear ladies.
That's
he's the best child in the world, therefore.
Yeah, yes. He is.
It's amazing. Kids in school going, "What's Dear Ladies?" Is that you don't know about Dear Ladies blood?
Yeah, simply my cup of tea.
And that was followed by Newsnight with a roundup of the budget, and it just says, news, politics, Jeffrey Howell's proposals.
Jeffrey Howell's getting a lot of airtime, isn't he?
He's getting a lot of proposals.
Yeah,
exactly.
The Bachelor.
And that was your televisual joy on BBC One and BBC Two.
I like amazing. Jeffrey Howell to be behind a wall on a chair, and ladies come in, and he has to pick one of them to marry.
Involve having fun with his having fun with his taxi play.
But why would you be watching that very strange episode of Blind Date with Jeffrey Howell that definitely exists? When you could be watching The King's Demons. Let's jump in, shall we?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Things start off promisingly. It's 12:15 and the king is being a dick.
Yes.
That is the main part of the plot. But things look good. There's a dog. That's right. There's a dog in there. There's a little actor whose name is Peter Burrows.
Whose father is he?
Is he the father-in-law?
Yes.
Of Warwick Davis.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Really?
And he and Warwick Davis have formed an agency for little people.
That's good.
Yeah.
Nice. He's done the classic little person parts. He's been in Ewok. He was in Willow, obviously, with Warwick Davis.
Got you.
But he wasn't in Time Bandits. What happened there? Do you think he upset someone?
I think he upset someone. He was probably busy doing this.
Yeah. It's like, you've got a choice. You can either be in an iconic film or have a non-speaking role in The King's Demons.
Well,
Ian, do you want to be in the worst two episodes of Doctor Who ever? No, well...
Come. I don't think these are the worst two Doctor Who episodes ever.
Oh, I think they're getting very close.
I'd rather watch this than Happiness Patrol.
That's fair enough.
At least this is short and sweet, like Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
There's a lovely bit of The Jester where you just see him at the tail end of a juggling act, so you know that he in reality can't juggle, so you just see the ball landing back in his hand, so someone just dropped it out of shot. I love it.
And you got an actual lute player. I looked him up. He's an actual player of lutes and ancient traditional instruments.
Ooh, he's well versed in the lute.
He is.
Very good. So he can advertise a second-hand car.
That's
and
right.
Also play an instrument.
And get beaten to death by Kenneth Halliwell.
Yeah.
Joe Orton joke for you. Yeah, very highbrow, this podcast.
Very
highbrow today, isn't it?
Just running through my head, see if there are any other lute references. No, can't think of any. Okay.
No.
The king is acting very strange, isn't he?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know that.
Because we don't know what he was like.
No.
Yeah, but I think all the clues are there where he just goes, ah ha ha, demons, ah ha, demons. And everyone's like, why is the king a prick today?
Yeah, the word demons is, I think, about 80% of the script in this.
Yeah,
it is.
Ah,
yeah.
Demons.
Desmonds.
Pork pie.
And also, I have to say, nothing really quite says medieval England like all the fucking synth pop that's currently being played.
It's like a Game Boy soundtrack.
Well, did you see you did the music?
Brilliant.
Did you see you did the music for this?
No.
Is it going to be Jeremy's father?
It certainly is.
Is it?
It's Mr. Lim. Yeah. Oh, bless him.
He's doing his best with what I assume was a Casio keyboard wasn't even plugged in.
Baseball cap on the wrong way round.
He had to do the whole soundtrack to that whilst having a fight.
Whilst Jeremy did his homework.
Yeah. So at the top table there, because the king is visiting the castle of
I don't know. London, silly we're told, place. Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, they're four. Is it 4 hours ride from London? But anyway, he's staying at this guy's house, and at the other end of the table is the mysterious Sir Charles Estrella, the master.
It's the master. Immediately. you said in the WhatsApp the twist is obvious immediately, and I thought I wonder how quickly. Oh, it's the master. with a ginger beard on.
Yeah. I was like, why is the master a member of the Grumbleweeds? What's going on? Why has he immediately joined that group?
I do what I want, what I do, what I do.
Just because he's got a ginger wig on and some hairy eyebrows. Yeah. That's it. That's the whole disguise.
He's a very recognisable man.
He's got a very distinctive face. Yeah.
He does. And also he's got that voice that you can recognise no matter how much he tries to be either from...
What is he doing? He's like, good morning, I'm the master. Bonjour, monsieur.
He's from that part of France known as Cornwall.
Yeah. Moist. And also, not only has he got a distinctive face, he's got a very distinctive voice as well, like you say. So there's just no disguising. You might as well just have someone, because this is what I was thinking, have someone else play this part.
Yeah.
And then later on, because he does that boodle doodle doo.
Yeah, they're going to do that anyway.
Then the twist is solid. And you're
I've got a massive problem with the diddly diddly doo, but we'll get get to that when we get to it. Jesus Christ.
He had a book full of diddly diddly doos.
He had a book full of diddly diddly doodles.
I wonder if it was complete at this point.
He was still collecting, I think.
It was one of those things like an old wallet, you know, it was all. You open it and everything just falls out.
Yeah.
I think it was like, you know, the old man's book in Up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, the adventure continues.
And that lovely, charming music. Da, 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 da. This is Helen Mirren's.
And the filthy, perverted journey continues.
Doctor, I've decided to put balloons on my house and go look at fannies.
Balloon knots. Oh my, that's it. Anyway,
that's a different book.
Yeah,
that's the brown book.
I should say at this point, I had the pleasure, the absolute pleasure of having.
Of turning Peterson. It off.
That's it. I haven't got any more notes. This is watch Grandstand instead. of working with Peter Davison recently.
I know.
He's a very lovely man. I did not get to ask him about the big book. Because
all the King's Demons.
All the King's Demons, indeed.
I mean, if that was your immediate thing you said as soon as you met him.
Imagine.
Tell me about the Big Book of Friendly. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Peter.
Did ask him next time you see him, because you're bound to work with him again.
Of course,
ask
friends
him
now.
If he went and had a cheese sandwich with Anthony Aisley in his car, and it'll come up in conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't like cheese, so he went and had a sandwich in his car.
Okay, that's good to know. We'll find out. Well, I'd imagine he was in his car quite a lot, because we now go to a location, because someone's impugned the honour of Hugh.
Yes.
The sort of the visitor's son, and so now they have to joust for some reason.
And the visitor's dad is played by Frank Windsor.
Who's Frank Windsor?
Frank Windsor.
What?
Frank's not Frank Windsor.
Isn't it?
Not?
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking Frank Thornton. Carry on.
It's Frank Windsor. You know the guy, he's an actor, he was in Zed Cars and stuff. But he used to do those insurance adverts, and you get this free pen too.
Just for inquiring.
So I wanted him to say that at the end of every line.
Yeah.
Please don't take my only son, looking at the camera, and you get this free pen.
This free pen just for taking my only son. Strange man.
Someone's going to write it. I've got that burning feeling of someone's going to write it and go, it's not Frank Windsor. But it definitely is.
Well, there's for the purposes of this show, it is.
It is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and you get this free pen, too.
Yeah. So then we cut to inside the TARDIS. And for what it's worth, I like this. I like this TARDIS crew and I like this TARDIS set. I think I like this one.
Yeah, crew's very good.
Yeah, we don't see this a lot, but yeah, I think this is now Tegan wants to go home, and there's some bickering going on, and they have landed.
That fucker always wants to go home.
Now she can't get away from being in Doctor Who.
And at one point and at one point he says to her, "You want to go home?" She's like, "No, I don't." And he's like, "You always fucking do.
You always fucking
why are you being difficult?" Yeah.
So bizarre. But so they land and they realise they're in the middle of a joust. So they head out, as you do. And the Hugh is knocked off his horse. First of all, the king says, immediately says they're demons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without any
lovely, lovely demon.
My demon.
And the rest of the crowd are like, a big blue box just arrived. Should be panic. No,
it's just called an engine. And what do they know about an engine?
Exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't understand that either.
In the 1200s. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's an engine. What the fuck's an engine?
Yeah.
Also, I should point out at this point that the young visitor, the blonde
is
played by the wonderful Christopher Villiers.
Yes.
Fans of Top Secret all know as the Torch. I interviewed Christopher Villiers about Top Secret a while ago, so I still had his email, so I dropped him an email and said, "Hi Christopher, how are you keeping? We're doing a Doctor Who podcast about the King's Demons. Have you got any memories that you could sum up in a sentence?" And he said, "Hi John, thanks for the short notice. We filmed at Hever Castle in the rain, sets wobbled, we laughed a lot, I stabbed the master in the finger of my sword. What's there not to love? Long live the Doctor. Thank you, Chris."
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
crucially, what the sentence wasn't upsetting sandwich in car with Ainley.
Tempted into back of full cortina with a code on it.
You know what? Maybe I'll email him again and ask him if he saw a book of fannies.
We want to get
see it. I went to a gallery. He had them on the wall.
I wonder if it's like the TARDIS. You walk in and it's like a gallery inside a wallet.
I want this podcast to become like Serial. Like, we try to uncover the truth about exactly what happened with Anthony Ainley's big book
it's
of fannies.
It's got to be somewhere. Unless he had, I'm sure I mentioned this before. Before Peter Sellers died, he did a massive bonfire.
Yeah.
And burnt loads of stuff that perhaps might have looked bad.
Right.
I wonder if Ainsley did that with his book.
Someone should tweet Janet Fielding. Oh, no, Janet Fielding, because I don't want to think that we're saying she's in it, but he wouldn't have shown Janet Fielding. So
no.
I was going to say we should tweet Janet Fielding because she's actually quite active on Twitter and replies to quite a lot of stuff.
So but
Dear Janet, long-time fan, which page you on?
Yeah, just I think this was a male only. Like he would only share it with the men on set, right? That's the kind of.
Oh, I'd imagine it's a bit creepy if he shared it to a woman, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be weird if he did that.
Slightly creepy and insane, yeah.
I don't like the cheese sandwiches, you know. Would you like to come sit in my car with me? I've got a book you might like to look at.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I don't know. There was a guy on set all the time who had this book full of vaginas. I don't know who it was, but he had this ginger beard. No idea who he was.
Absolute though. Mystery, master of disguise. Yeah.
Anyway, he disappeared after 3 days, so we couldn't find him.
But he did go on tour with the Grumbleweeds.
I got a big book of fannies. You can turn the page. Oh dear, sorry.
It had to happen. We haven't done one of these in a while. This had to all come out somehow.
Yeah.
Oh boy, so old Hugh gets knocked off his horse, tragedy, and he's about to be killed, but the doctor begs the king to not kill him.
He says he's yielded. Surely that's enough. We don't suddenly Peter Davison decides, well, the doctor I should say, decides to talk like he's in a Shakespeare production. He's like, we need not see more blood spilled today. Turlough must be like, what's he talking about? I mean, presumably Turlough's from another planet, right?
Yes, yeah.
So you'd imagine his grasp of English is probably not 100%. So he's probably thinking, why has he gone all funny? Why is he talking like that?
Sir, doth not quench your thirst for blood this eve.
Yeah. And the king's like, what?
I'm a robot. To be honest, you really don't even remember that Turlough's in this. I mean, bless him.
No.
He steps out the TARDIS, gets captured, and then gets captured again, and then leaves.
There is a point where the doctor's just like, oh, and if you see Turlough, let him know I'm dead.
The utter disregard for Turlough in this is unbelievable.
If you see Turlough, tell him.
Yeah.
But at least I'll give him points for not having him go, oh, I've got a headache.
Yes, like Nyssa.
Like Nyssa today.
Yeah. Would it be better, maybe, I don't know, because he ends up with nothing to do. They have a look around the castle. There's a reference to sex in this, I think.
There is.
Did anyone else pick up on this? But they talk about being cold, and then he says, oh, the bed's quite small, and then the doctor says, another way of keeping warm.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's a reference to having the nasty.
Yeah, that's the reference to the episode The Bumming of the Daleks.
We'll be doing that one next, don't worry, that's coming up. The trouble is at this point, nothing's like propelling the plot forward. They're just sort of looking around the castle and sort of a bit perplexed that the king is here when he should be in London taking the Crusader, is it the Crusader's Oath?
Yes.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And also he's wonderful, wonderful demons.
Demons.
Come and have dinner with me, I love you. King's never ever said that before, ever. Yeah. Ever.
No. The king's acting very strange.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure it's perfectly normal.
It's all
this
fine.
Is what got Rusty Lee fired, isn't it? Instead of demons, she kept talking about products. Heinz beans. Why do you keep saying Heinz beans?
I'm just enjoying that as a thing. I don't even know what that's a reference to, but it's very fun.
Oh, she got fired for doing product placement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she kept either mentioning or showing something.
She properly partridged
not like
it.
That
is,
yeah. She had a Labrador.
things came to a head, Tom, when she served up some oxtail soup and some tenor lady. she was asked to leave.
Yeah, fair enough. Turlough's taken to the dungeon.
Brilliant.
Where there is an Iron Maiden, you'll notice.
Yeah.
I read in some ways.
Excellent.
Niddly,
niddly, niddly, niddly. Sorry.
Flawless. Flawless Mike Myers.
Bill and Ted, Tom, not Mike Myers.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. I've got the wrong.
He says
that
the king says to them, take them to the Iron Maiden. And they go, Iron Maiden. Excellent.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And I believe that that Iron Maiden was, I read somewhere that it was a prop that was also used in Blackadder. Is that true?
Maybe in the first series. I don't remember.
No, but apparently that might appear, yeah, in the first series of Blackadder, the rubbish one.
It's not a very good prop, though. I mean, it looks a bit wobbly.
It does.
It's a little bit wobbly, and it doesn't have any spikes in it either.
It doesn't. It has like three of them, and they're all rubber.
Yeah.
Might be the one Paul Daniels got in when everyone thought he died.
Oh, yeah.
That was scary.
Cut straight to credits. Cut straight to credits.
Yeah. Couldn't do that now, could you?
No.
Sure, not now, BBC woke.
Yeah. I didn't realise this was a woke Iron Maiden, he says as he steps out. I suppose I'd be dead if I was a Muslim.
Yeah. I think if there's one thing that, you know, not that the death of anyone is a good thing, but that we lost Paul Daniels before he got a chance to sort of jump on board that train is probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing. Because his autobiography, not that I've read it all, but I think we've talked about this before, but there's a website that's got excerpts from it, and it's so incredible.
Is
really?
It?
Oh, it's so part. I mean, I think Neil Gibbons said that that was an inspiration for I, Partridge.
Oh, really? I
can see that.
I can so imagine every chapter ending with, needless to say, I had the last laugh.
Needless to say, Paul. I guessed the man's card. That is how every story ends.
I tell you what, though. I mean, I've been watching too much Columbo lately. Daniels would have been a great Columbo.
He would have been a good,
Columbo victim?
Or the villain. swap him for Dick Cassidy in the magic episode.
Would Columbo have closed the Iron Maiden and then opened it again and been like, one more thing?
I think he would have pushed him in, closed it, opened it, farted in it, closed it again.
Peter Fart.
Peter Fart?
It doesn't work, it works.
Peter Fart!
Kabumbo.
Peter Fart.
Just one more thing. Well, that's Kabumbo there.
He's got an arse eye. I don't know.
You mean co-starring William Shatner?
Peter Fart!
Shit Cassidy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God. Well, there you go. That's
Fartrick McGowan.
Yeah.
Fartrick.
It'll do. No one was questioning. No one was circling back on that. You could have got away with it.
You can't stop me from farting, guffing, breaking wind, popping off.
You heard the fart. Did you smell it?
I did a fart, you car, Columbo.
Anyway, sorry.
Sorry.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, so in the woods, two men who look like Neil from The Inbetweeners arrive, and they are taken in, and they have news that they've only just seen the king. Mm. The king was back in London. Mm. They saw him there. It's all very confusing. And so they're not sure that the king is actually the king, which is something we already know, and it didn't take us 25 minutes to get there, but that's where we are nonetheless. And so then the doctor's dining with the king and everyone else, and I can't remember exactly the thing, but he has to duel with the champion, doesn't he? The doctor has to then do a duel with the champion. And this bit I quite like, because I think that Peter Davidson can do this very well. He looks good in his jumper and the sword. I think it works
it's
very
nice
nicely.
Seeing, we're going to talk about this in another episode, but it's nice seeing him out of his usual costume.
Nice
seeing him in that, because I hate that jacket. I like the jumper and the trousers, but I don't like the jacket. So it's nice.
Do you not?
No, I don't. And it's even better when he's wearing the medieval stuff later.
Oh, that's fun, isn't it? That's a lot of fun.
The problem is, you. I always think, God, imagine Pertwee doing this. Because Pertwee doing a sword fight would have been...
He would have gone on 15 minutes, he'd have been swinging on chandeliers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Most of it would have been shot from behind, so it's just...
chaos.
He would have immediately hide the jester out the door. Why get them? Nothing to do with it at all.
You just stab the loop player.
You hide right through the loop.
Sword.
Can we talk about where the king decides to have a sing song? Because that's amazing.
Yeah, can we? Because it really derails everything. I don't know why
we stopped. It's completely ridiculous.
It pauses the whole episode so he can go,
I'm going to sing a song now. Why is Tom Waits our king? What's going on?
We are poor. It's got that horrible...
It's Tom Waits. It just becomes Tom Waits. It's really bizarre.
I don't want to grow up.
And again, all the sort of courtiers must be going, the king's never sung like Tom Waits before. Something up with this fellow. He only says the word demons, and then he sings like Tom Waits.
No, anyway. This is Chameleon picking up Radio 1.
Why is the king calling himself Radio Caroline?
If you kick Chameleon in the nuts, you can get Book at Bedtime. Bend over, Chameleon, I want to see the shipping forecast.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's because we hear it again, don't we, when he's when it's revealed that the king is actually comedian.
Yes, that's how he finds him in the room,
is that he's singing. So yeah, we just have to do that. It's quite similar to the other Peter Davidson two-parter, which we also love, Black Orchid. In the sense that they'll just happily spend 5 minutes on just something which isn't really about plot. So he has the song, and then obviously the Doctor is victorious in the duel. And it's very good. There's some proper, he goes up some stairs and stuff, all the things you want.
Yeah.
But then the twist of all twists is revealed as, it revealed that Sir Charles Estram,
Estram.
Gosh. Johnny Vaughan, but I meant Johnny Ball. It's like Johnny Ball wrote this.
It's a bit Tom Riddle, isn't it?
Heinz Wolf, yes.
It's the master. The master who then immediately... Now, is Wibbly your problem wobbles. With this the same thing as my problem with this?
Why do that? Why say to the doctor, ha ha ha, it's me? Because as soon as he does that, that's his plan scuppered immediately.
It really is.
And he just doesn't have to do that at all. He doesn't ever have to reveal that he's the master. Things would have gone so much more fucking easier for him if he doesn't go, ha ha ha, it's me. You fucking doofus, master. You really are a doofus.
If he can go wibbly wibbly wibbly, which we it's never quite explained what that is.
Why have Chameleon?
Why have Chameleon if he could do that?
Because he could just be the king, couldn't he? Exactly. It just makes no fucking sense.
Much better though if he goes, hang on a minute, Doctor, and then he goes through a little door with dry ice, and then comes back out as the master and waves, Doctor, you've been a fool, and then the audience applauds.
Or he just goes to another room. There's dry ice, and then he just stares in your eyes, and he comes in as a variety of pop acts. Or he goes wibbly wobbly, and suddenly it's Linford Christie, and then it ends. the fuck is happening?
Why hasn't he been the king if the king's away?
Exactly.
He should have just been the king. We don't need
you
this
just,
mysterious.
You don't need
Estram.
Chameleon at all.
No.
To help you, if you've got that little what looks like a sort of little black dildo, just point it and go wibble wobble.
If you have the ability to change your appearance to some extent, but not all of it, I don't quite understand what that is.
I don't know either.
We're forming a book of props that look like cocks, aren't we? Yeah. We've got the Dicky Dido, whatever it was called.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, the Dick Titty. What was it called?
Tom Tits.
Tom Tits.
Tom Tits.
You've got this dildo. You've got other things. that I can't think of right now. It's a very short book, but it's,
it is.
It's a companion to the Big Book of Fannies.
The carafe that's in, yeah. The carafe in Day of the Daleks is a is very phallic as well.
Very phallic, yes.
The Doctor, like I say, the King wants them to wants the Doctor to kill the Master, as he says, consummate the victory, which is quite rude as
it's
well.
A bit rude.
So, a bit randy. This, yeah. Come on, guys.
Also, why would the King? Because if the Master's if the Master is controlling Chameleon or using him, then that's Chameleon as the King going, kill the Master! If I was the Master, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Stupid
sorry,
one
I
man.
Thought you were Linford Christie.
Yeah, sorry. It just makes no sense at all.
Unless that's what the Master wants. If the King was like, pleasure him now. That's what you have to do at the end of a duel for some reason.
Pleasure him now.
Now the ancient tradition of working the shaft and holding the balls. What?
Just a zip slowly going down.
Good if Chameleon went, and now you must moon river. Why? He's fucking picked up the brain. Give him a smack on the head.
Gale Force imminent. Fuck is wrong with him? He's wrong with the King.
Oh god, he's turning to Freddy Starr.
He's going to do his speeding up Hitler in a minute. Watch out.
Did you see someone on Twitter posted all the background, all the B-roll from This Is Your Life of
Hitler? God, I've got that bookmarked and I've yet to watch it. Apparently it's appalling.
I mean, it's awful. You can sort of dip in, because I think it's like 4 hours long, but it's absolutely extraordinary. Russ Abbott's good, isn't he? Anyway,
oh,
that was...
Great. Yeah. You can see why ITV went, yeah, let's make the show about that one.
Yeah.
Not that awful, weird one.
Not that horrible one. Yeah. Which, like Robin Williams, but without the charm. Anyway, so the Master is then, the Doctor must make a difficult decision. Will he put into the Iron Maiden his arch enemy, who won't die anyway because he'll regenerate, or an innocent man? And the Doctor has to think for a while before going, yeah, probably my old enemy, who is then put into, and he's put into the Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Excellent. But guess what? The Iron Maiden's only a bloody TARDIS.
Oh, it's only a bloody TARDIS. There was me thinking it was the dog.
Yeah. Imagine crawling into the back of that dog.
Going up the dog's ass.
What are you doing? It's the comedian, yeah, trust me.
God,
well, I suppose he has to shrink himself first. He had to shrink himself first and get some of those airport stairs, you know?
Yeah.
So we can get into the dog's anus.
He's catching him on his knees behind the dog, clutching its hips. What are you doing? I'm putting the key in.
And then whenever the dog appears on another planet, he has to wait until someone brings the stairs.
It's like,
bloody, it's been 10 minutes.
Giving the double peace sign outside of the dog's anus.
He has to wait for the baggage to be handled.
Yeah.
That's he's still waiting baggage control on the carousel for his big book of handies to come down the chute.
Oh, you've brought me down your dog shit. I mean,
that's why you always have to bag up dog shit. He might be the Master in there.
Oh, God.
There's that whole episode where the Master's in a bag hanging from a tree in a wood.
He threw the Master into a tree. He's in a plastic bag covered in shit.
Yeah.
You can have a little weird B-plot where his camouflage has gone wrong and he's gone to white dog shit.
Oh, wow. Yes, the Valiant.
Why don't we get white dog shit anymore? Oh, Michael Grade.
Michael Grade.
Thanks, Michael Grade. Don't have that anymore.
By the way, to answer your question, John, the reason why we don't have white dog shit anymore is there's no chalk being put in the dog feed.
That's right.
Oh, there you go.
They used to bulk it up with chalk.
Of course they did.
Which, of course, was written by Stephen Moffat. So
it
links up.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, but my comprehensive was very rough, and the teacher used to use a dog on the blackboard.
A cat as an eraser. It's very
honestly. There we go, that's that rubbed out. And now trigonometry. Where's my Pekingese? What I love is we're
hamster
trying to do everything but talk about this fucking episode.
I know.
Hamster holding a pin in its mouth for a compass.
Oh,
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're not talking about this episode.
No.
No. Well, I tell you what, because I was following this along, and I was following along with the Wikipedia plot summary to make sure I caught every single detail. Mm. And I'm just going to read this for part of episode two, which is...
Please.
Just, if this is the plot summary. It says, after a series... of mishaps, including the death of Sir Geoffrey. So that is it. It's just basically this episode is a series of mishaps. Yeah. That is what happens. Turlough goes from one. Basically, he's in the dungeon the whole time, isn't he? He doesn't get anything to do.
He's basically Jamie Thigston getting caught in that den.
Yeah.
or to make it more current, Frank Boff.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hmm. When I went round the Doctor Who experience. Oh no, what
Frank
was it
Boff
called?
Was in
time
the
game Fracture. There was Jamie Thigston, and he was a lot taller than you think. There you go. Yeah.
Also, when the master goes, I'm the master. Again, all the courtiers go, oh, now there's a bloke who's just magically turned into someone else. Yeah we'll also take that. That's absolutely fine.
So, just
not a problem for us.
I hope someone's taking minutes here. So now we know what an engine is.
Yeah.
We've seen a man transform in a wibbly whoop.
And that's fine. We'll just accept that now, will we?
But if anyone gets a lighter out, we'll go, ooh.
The Doctor is knighted. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sir Doctor.
Sir Doctor.
Sir Doctor.
Which, you know, he still should be called, really.
Yeah. Mm. And he's the President of Gallifrey.
It's lucky he's
not
played by Ben Kingsley, or he'd insist on it.
Well, I suppose he could have been knighted Sir Demon. He'd be like, oh, shut up, Lillian. Tedious man.
He goes down and sees goes down to the dungeon, and that there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. So then Tegan ends up in the TARDIS for a bit, because he manages to dematerialize the TARDIS.
Yes, and then it beeps like the fire alarm's gone off.
Yeah,
smoke
exactly.
alarm. Oh, I left the toast on.
I thought she was backing the TARDIS in like a truck, you know. Beep, beep, beep. TARDIS reversing. Beep, beep. TARDIS reversing.
He's running over the dog.
He's on my foot.
And then the Doctor's walking around Peladon for a bit, and he hears the Weeaboora song that we heard earlier, and he goes inside. And everyone, this is when we first meet. Well, not first meet, but in his natural state, we first see the Doctor assistant that was never going to work.
No.
Chameleon.
Chameleon.
Who does look like, as I realised last night, the actor who plays J.R. Hartley. Because he's also sat down as well. He can't get up.
No, you do? My name? Chameleon.
Do you have human spotting by...
Obviously, you could tell that whatever BBC Boffins around the time said, look, we are getting very close now to the ultimate in robotics. allow us to demonstrate with our latest model that you can use on your science fiction programme. Mm. And all Chameleon can do is move his head an inch at best. He looks like C-3PO's had a stroke. It's just...
Well, he looks like C-3PO's granddad, doesn't he?
Utterly appalling. Why didn't... I can so see why they did it, because I bet the decision at one point was, let's just put a bloke in a robot suit. I wish they fucking did that, so at least he could move. Because the idea is that when Chameleon's in his natural state, he's just like a fucking car battery that just sits on a chair. Yeah. When he wibble wobbles, he can fucking do handstands, but he can't do it when he's fucking back to normal, can he?
C-3PO.
He can move his wrist and move his neck an inch. That's it. This is, it's just pathetic.
C-3PO, go and take your tea to Granddad. Oh, I'm a
dad, I'm a pudding. It's just pathetic.
It's
the Chameleon
absolutely
is just
embarrassing. Yeah,
yeah.
And the voice isn't very good either. It's just there's nothing about it that you go, wow.
I went on Blue Peter at the time as well, and everyone was like, wow, this is the future.
Yeah. We're going to show you this week how to blow up Chameleon. What?
The only thing we can perfect is we can get his head to move slightly to the left, as you can see.
Yeah.
And we can have him fully masturbate. Why would you ever need that? Nothing else. He can't walk, he can't move, but he can masturbate properly.
Yeah.
He can masturbate. Honestly, it's like a moth's wings if you look at it. Look at it go.
It's got three speeds.
Look at that. It's like a hummingbird having a panic attack. Can we get a close up on that? No.
As you can see at the end, flower comes out because it looks better on screen.
Jesus
like
Christ.
It's like a little train funnel. How much did this
its
cost? £500,000.
£500,000 to the BBC.
Sorry, we've had to ditch grandstand for all years.
Tripod Series 3 cancelled. the chameleon.
Quite obviously, there was a memo going around the BBC going, listen, Professor Hinesworth has just gone through a messy divorce. He's tried to build himself a wife. It looks awful. Should we use it for Doctor Who? We've taken the wig off of the lipstick. It should be all right.
As you look at the credits at the end, it says chameleon played by Mrs. Hinesworth.
Oh. Jesus Christ. Anything else about Chameleon?
No, I think we sort of covered him, as it were, in
what's
it called? The Planet of Fire?
They should have bloody covered him, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should have bloody covered him in cement. Probably more sea.
Should have been buried like...
That would be a special when they bring up the Titanic. There should have been a side special where they were dumping chameleons.
Peter Duncan having to go to the North Sea.
Yeah.
An 8-foot concrete slab.
There he goes.
And with a bit of luck, this won't be found for hundreds of years.
It'll be like the frog in that old cartoon. Like, you bring him out and he sings Hello, My Darling to you. Dances about. But when you take him on telly, he just sits there and does nothing.
That's good. Sits there and his head falls off. Well, that
honestly,
was rough.
At home, he danced around the room and sang, Hello, my darling.
Hello, my crazy dog.
As soon as we get him here in front of you, he just goes...
He's camera shy.
Look what he did at home. Remember what we practiced.
Come on, chameleon. Come on. Say hello, mummy. Oh, he's done his business on the newspaper. Well, it's the Financial Times.
So. Nuts and bolts, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, you might want to use them. Fucking chameleon.
Anyway.
So then we find out the master's plan, yeah. Which is that he wants to stop the Soviet...
Oh, Tom, please tell me what the master's plan is, because it makes no sense.
So he wants to... The king is going to die in a duel, so that then there's the French king who won't give the Magna Carta, which will then stop parliamentary democracy.
That's the master's grand plan.
Just kill the king.
Wibble wobble as the king and just do whatever you want. Just literally, yeah. I ain't going to fuck walls forever. Every sheep must be shoved in that man's eye. Just be the master and be mental. Yeah. Why do all... And also, that's a long game of a wait, isn't it, for a master? Has to wait billions of years for anything to happen.
Also, do we ever find out why the Doctor arrives at this point?
No.
He just says, it's a gift, that's all. He says, it's a gift that I arrive at these times.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't hold water.
But his normal excuse is Tegan wants to go home, and he goes, well, it is Earth, but just never is the right time. That's his usual default.
But what I love as well is that they're both talking about, like, the Master's saying, with Chameleon, I can take over the world. I can take over millions of worlds. And Chameleon's sat there like a fucking idiot.
Shitting Duracell. It's just... You don't need Chameleon, you can already do it yourself with your fucking go-go gum! You stupid man! Someone needs to sit the master down and go, listen, you've had some really nefarious ideas in your time. And listen, you've done very well. You are pure evil. But lately, it's like evil to you is like a hobby. Yeah. It's just getting less and less effective.
You're very sixth, seventh series of a lower low at this point. You really
are. You're like, do you remember your last one, Master, where you tried to put a sentient hot cross bun under the Queen's bun? I mean, it was just pathetic, wasn't it? Have you got early onset master dementia? What is going on?
You stole Genghis Khan's wheels, turned them into a bike, and put them in Victorian London.
Nobody noticed. Nobody noticed.
They're still there.
If you think about it, the master has Chameleon, which can shapeshift into anything, and this was his plan.
Master, about your other plan, you got all of Hadrian's Wall, that's right, yeah, you shrunk it, didn't you, yeah? And then what did you do? You put it on, that's right, yeah, Fatima Whitbread's head. She didn't know, she just kept on doing her sport,
so
didn't
small.
She? You're so small.
So yeah, the master with all these, he's going to stop the signing of the Treaty of Utrecht and the Warsaw Pact and other small like bits of.
But at
bits
least
of
he
admin,
didn't dance
basically.
The Ra-Ra Rasputin. That's something.
No, he wouldn't have done that.
No. I love that. I love that scene. That was when they look at each other. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Imagine if he had done Ceramo Rasputin, but with this plan instead.
Completely incongruously out of context.
Yeah, imagine if him and Chameleon all turned into Boney M.
I'd like to pay good money to the Ainsley dancer.
He took his book out and they all did a rendition of Brown Girl in the Ring.
Hooray, hooray, it's a holiday.
It's a master's holiday. And Doctor Who will not return next week.
No. So then eventually, having discovered this, the Doctor says, they have a little battle of wits over who controls Chameleon.
Yeah, that's a bit odd. But what the Doctor should have said is, do you know what, Master, I'll leave you to it.
Clearly you don't know what to do with this thing.
I don't think I need to come back for this one.
You're such a fuckwit. I don't need to do anything. You're going to ruin it by being stupid. Yeah.
Then it turns into Tegan, who goes into the TARDIS. Tegan doesn't like that there's two of her, so he turns back into Chameleon, and she goes, I don't like Chameleon, he looks weird, and he's naked. And then they're like, well, tough.
And I love him.
Yeah, that's your assistant now. And they're like, what about the Master? And the Doctor's like, I don't know, he'll get lost or something. Mm. And then you cut to Anthony Ainley getting into his TARDIS. That's it. It's not like there's a funny thing where he ends up like in Egypt or like under the sea or something.
He does say he's done something to his TARDIS, doesn't he? But I can't remember what it is.
Somewhere did away like in the corner.
Yeah.
He's done a shit under the pillow.
There's a trout in the ceiling.
He's done an Upper Decker.
Yeah.
he's probably replaced his little shrinky gun with a Toblerone or something. Yeah, exactly.
But we don't see the effect of that. We just literally see the Master taking off.
Yeah.
The Master walks into his TARDIS, a small cup of water falls off the door of his head, and there's a note, post-it note saying, you are all wet, love the Doctor. Yeah.
And the Master's off for his next nefarious scheme, putting a giraffe in a Sinclair C5!
And so then
putting a Rubik's Cube by the side of a road.
Whoa, how can he do that? Oh my goodness. So the Master's off. The Master's off to add an S to the to a packet of Twix. So it says Squix, which no one will notice.
And no one will be able to order chocolate.
He's going to buy the Ritz and change it to the tits.
Yeah.
That's a master plan, isn't it? No, he's off to obviously make friends with all the Cybermen, isn't he? Because the next episode, of course, is...
Is the Five Doctors.
Yeah, because they're going to go off to Orion because... what's her face? Tegan wants to go somewhere nice and relaxing.
You don't see much of Chameleon in Five Doctors, do you?
No, he's gone for a lie down.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got the headache. Brilliant.
The brand new assistant that they've got, they decide, they don't want to have him.
If you look very carefully, there's a bit where the barber is making a cup of tea and she opens a cupboard and there's Chameleon's foot hanging out of a bin.
His head's been used as a doorstop.
His mouth's open wide and he's on the Doctor's sideboard.
So they're on the way to the Eye of Christopher Orion and that's it. That's the end of the King's Demons.
The King's Demons there. More of a documentary than an episode.
Yeah.
But I was thinking it's more like if this was a Hartnell. I was thinking you'll probably tell me I'm an idiot, but if this was a Hartnell episode, you'd probably go, that was fun and charming.
Yes.
But I think because it's Davidson and it's the 80s and it's colour and everything, you're a bit like, that's shit.
Yeah. Well, because Hartnell would have been like, yes, maybe I'm a demon.
But is this any less is this any less better than the Aztecs, for instance?
I think it is less better. I prefer the Aztecs.
Really?
Yeah.
I know what you mean about they both get mistaken for sort of deities or like certain,
and it's a historical educational episode, sort of, isn't it?
Yes, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like, let's, you know, it's Histor's Eye in a way.
Yeah. And the egg techs.
Yeah.
The Aztec eggs. Yeah.
So the King's Demon, so what are we going to rate it out of?
Oh, okay, right. What are we going to...
What's our unit going to be?
Dog TARDISes.
Lovely. So Tom, you go first.
Yes. Okay. Obviously, it's not the strongest, but I am I'm sort of self-elected myself as the positive one on this podcast.
Yeah.
And I think that the outside filming stuff is good. I think some of the sets are good. The performances overall are fun. Is it Flood? Gerald Flood? Is he the King?
Yes.
And he really chews.
Apparently, he's also the voice of Chameleon.
Oh, really?
Oh.
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 Well, there you go. He gave us that iconic performance. Mm. So I'm gonna be positive on this one, and I'm going to give it, 55.
Wow. Jesus.
Got a nosebleed.
Yeah.
Wow. It's complete bobbins. 5 TARDIS dogs.
5 TARDIS dogs.
It's just really, really pedestrian. And I want some sort of sense from some of it, and it just doesn't give me any of it. The plot is just non-existent.
Yeah.
It just, and the TARDIS looks knackered as well, which always upsets me. It's just complete and utter codswallop. No, it's, all right, I'll be 15. 15 TARDIS dogs.
Okay, good. Well, it's, the plot makes zero sense.
Yeah.
But it's charming.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun with it. I'm sorry.
No,
I did.
You didn't.
I did. And more importantly, that doesn't outstay its welcome. It's 2 24-minute episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 25.
25. Yeah, so that means 95 TARDIS dogs for the King's Demons. What did our correspondents think of this? If you can still read them, because Twitter isn't dead now.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Uh-oh.
Because I did have it up a second ago, but they've gone.
Oh, no.
Twitter hasn't died. No, it's here. I got it. Okay. So, Kings. So, Tim Coleman says, Kings, 2 episodes too long. Sir Gillies is really panto master.
Mm-hmm.
King is really karma chameleon. And we're really considering self-harming. It's so bad. Though if the plan worked, it'd have stopped Dick's opening hairdressers in lockdown yelling, it's in Magna Carta. He's given it 5 out of 100 jousting sticks.
Oh, there you go.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'm just finding the next one. Okay, so Joe Short says, King's Demons, Julian Glover to Isla Blair. Darling, I had a wonderful time in Doctor Who. Why don't you give it a go? Surprised that they're still married after that. Added to the fun game of what accent is that supposed to be? And C-3PO's Poundland cousin makes the Iron Maiden look fun. our old friend Toby Haydoke.
Hey!
Toby says, Demons, your mother was a hamster and your TARDIS smells of elderberries. Not sure this actually counts as a story. The master is French, the king sings a song, and now we have a companion played by a robot that doesn't work and will not use. The end. 20 French tortoises out of 100. Stephen Graham says, it has to be the best sword fight in all of Who, though.
I'd say Sea Devils is up there, but this is Sea Devils one is about 5 episodes long, so this at least is swift.
Okay, I'm just seeing if there's any more. Bear with me. Andrew F. Hello, Andrew F. King's Demons. Hey. Never understood why JNT decided they need an immobile sack of shit robot when the makers of Star Wars knew you'd got a better result by sticking a bloke in a costume, which is what you said, Paul, I think.
Yes.
And he's a shape changer. They could have just had a guest star Chameleon of the Week each time.
Yes.
That would have been new. Yes. Yeah, easily. By doctors, they could just cast whoever they wanted.
Dave, Just Dave says, the King's Demons, bit of a the master to tell the doctor his willy's weak. Greg Newport, the King's Demons was not supposed to be the final story of the season. Mm. That honour was to go to a Dalek story, provisionally titled The Return, which would morph into Resurrection a year later, but sadly strike action prevented it. Instead, we finish on this shit. Ben Thomas, oh god. King's Demons, Magna Carta, did she die in vain? On this evidence, yes. Tony Aisley's playing up dress up again, this time as Noel Edmonds' birth defective Brittany Glovechild. We're at the point in the Fifth Doctor era where it's actively a plot twist if the villain doesn't turn out to be a master. It's written by Terence Dudley, a credit that reads more like a threat than a promise, and introducing Chameleon, a 6-foot tin sex doll that lip syncs slightly worse than a drag queen with Bell's palsy.
Oh, God!
Only fun fact, the Iron Maiden use for the Master's TARDIS is a reused plot from the Blackadder. You're right,
there
Tom.
We go. Yeah. Oh, but it didn't get you. It was reused from Blackadder. There you go.
Yeah. Anymore? No, that is it. That is. Oh no, that
was
it.
Oh, I was looking forward to hearing from
Mark E. Arda Mark says King Demons is ridiculous. Even the Doctor taunts the Master that his plans are a bit low key for him. Frank Windsor is the best thing about it, and you get this free pen.
Hey!
He didn't say that. I added it. I did okay. Steve Wright.
All right.
Nick Burden says King Demons. What do we do with this curate's egg that's gone off? Frank Windsor, and you get this free pen, resisting the urge to sell Miracle-Grow, the Doctor suggesting shagging is the way best way to warm up, and simultaneously the best and worst robot scene on TV, and the Master's French accent taunting us. And that is it for correspondence this week.
Well, there we go. The King's Demons, you can cross that one off the list.
Yeah, we got it now.
It was a weird anomaly that you couldn't get on VHS. You had to buy it with the Five Doctors as part of a thing. But also, I would say if I can plug something, I'm gonna be brave and plug something. I was looking through a new book called Time Slides, which is the art of Colin Howard, and it's a really good book that you can order off his website. And it's got the King's Demons VHS cover there, and it brought back a lot of memories because he illustrated a lot of the VHSs from.
Those VHS covers were always very.
They're lovely, aren't they?
Lovely stuff. So, yeah, I'm just looking at that at the minute, and his illustration for the King's Demons almost makes it look good. So, that's worth checking out. that's it. Join us next time, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to be back, isn't it, guys?
It's so lovely to be back.
Oh, it's lovely to be back.
Yeah,
we had a little break because we did a live show and then we forgot to do any more.
Yeah,
we're back.
You enjoyed the live. Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, and we'll be back next week with another episode of which you already know about because I've corresponded about it a bit. But look forward to it anyway. It'll be fun.
See you then.
Keep wheezing and groaning.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Grumbleweed Radio Show. I